Turn in your Bibles, please, to Mark chapter 10. I want to read verses 1 through 12. I had Brother Tig to just read verse number 5. But let's go ahead and read verses 1 through 12 from Mark chapter 2. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days, and it was noised that he was in the house. And straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy. He was paralyzed, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they let down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, "Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, "Why doth this man thus speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only?" And immediately, when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned within themselves, he said unto them, "Why reason ye these things in your heart? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, 'Thy sins be forgiven thee,' or to say, 'Arise and take up thy bed and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins." He saith unto the sick of the palsy, "I say unto thee, arise and take up thy bed and go thy way into thine house." And immediately he arose, took up his bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, "We never saw it on this fashion." We'd like to use as the title of our lesson this evening, visible faith in getting men to Jesus. Visible faith in getting men to Jesus. There was a certain man who was paralyzed. He's spoken of as being one who was sick of palsy. That is, he was a paralytic. He was unable to move around or ambulate under his own power. He had to depend upon the good graces and generosity of friends who loved him and were concerned about his welfare. They had apparently heard about Jesus and what wonderful things Jesus had done. When we look at the first chapter of the book of Mark, we find that Jesus encountered a man who was a leper, who had faith in Christ that Christ could make him whole. And Jesus proceeded to cleanse him of his leprosy. And the Bible says that Jesus placed certain restrictions on him. In other words, Jesus issued a gag order. He bade him keep his mouth closed. The Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, "See thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them." So Jesus imposed a gag order on the ex-leper and bade him not to open his mouth, not to tell anybody about the healing that he had experienced at the hand of Jesus. But this fellow had other ideas in his mind. He had other notions in his noggin. He had what some would call a can't help it spirit. He was very excited about having been cleansed. And rather than keeping his mouth closed, rather than refraining from publicizing what had happened to him, the Bible says in verse number 45 of chapter 1, but in contrast to what Jesus had instructed, but he went out and began to publish it much and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places, and they came to him from every quarter. So Jesus' popularity had experienced a dramatic escalation. The ex-leper just told everybody what Jesus had done, and Jesus couldn't appear openly because everybody was coming to him. And I believe that very likely the four men carrying the sick of palsy had heard, perhaps from the ex-leper, about the power that Jesus demonstrated in cleansing him of his leprosy. And perhaps he had heard about other miracles that Jesus had performed. And the crowds kept coming. The Bible says straightway in verse number 2, many were gathered together insomuch that there was no room to receive him. We call that an S-R-O crowd, standing room only. Not so much as about the door, and he preached the word unto them. Now, in this contextual setting, the Bible says that there came some men bringing one sick of palsy, which was borne or carried by four. Now, their objective was, their goal was to get this man to Jesus. And they had made their determination that they were going to get this man to Jesus regardless. No matter what it took, they were going to get this man to Jesus. That's an admirable attitude to possess, and an admirable spirit to exemplify, to make a determination that whatever it takes, we're going to do whatever it takes. Whatever is necessary, we're going to do that in order to get men to Jesus. I wish we could have that same kind of mindset that same kind of dedication, that same kind of commitment, that same kind of zeal that activated the four men who were friends of the man who was sick of palsy. They determined one way or another, we are going to get this man to Jesus. No matter what it takes, we're going to do whatever we have to do in order to get this man to Jesus. You know, it's necessary, it's needful that we have that same attitude, that we be willing to commit ourselves to doing whatever needs to be done to get men to Jesus. We want to get men to Jesus because Jesus is the Son of God. We want to get men to Jesus because Jesus is God the Son. We want to get men to Jesus because Jesus is the Savior of the world. We want to get men to Jesus because he loved men enough to die for them. We want to get men to Jesus because he is the one that has lasting solutions to our problems. We want to get men to Jesus because he is the one mediator between God and men. And there is no other way to get men to God unless we first get them to Jesus. There's no way to get men to heaven, to get men to glory, unless we prerequisitely get them to Jesus. Remember, Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I'm the way, not Muhammad. I'm the way, not Confucius. I'm the way, not Buddha. I am the way, none of the other world religious leaders. I alone am the way to the Father. And so in order to get men to the Father, you cannot bypass the Son. In order to get men to the Father, you must get them first of all to Jesus. And these four men in our text were determined to get this man, their friend, to Jesus. You have any friends that need to be taken to Jesus? You have any friends that you are interested in being instrumental in getting them to Jesus? You have any friends at all? You have any neighbors that you want to get to Jesus? You have any relatives that you want to get to Jesus? You have any co-workers that you want to get to Jesus? You have any acquaintances that you want to get to Jesus? Are you willing to commit yourself to doing whatever it takes in order to get them to Jesus? And I know we hear this kind of thing all the time, but we need to take it more seriously. Get men to Jesus because Jesus has the power to heal the sin-sick soul. Jesus has the power to make the wounded whole. Jesus has the power to save our souls. So we have to get men to Jesus. That's all there is to it. God is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. So it is vitally necessary that we get men to Jesus. Paul to the Athenians on Mars Hill, Acts 17 and verse 30 said, and the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. The Lord wants everybody to be saved. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So it is necessary for us to get men to Jesus. You know, whatever your problems are, Jesus can help solve them. Whatever your difficulties are, Jesus can help you deal with them. Whatever your trials and tribulations are, Jesus has the power, he has the capability, he has the ability to help you deal with whatever it is you're confronted with. And these men, these four men, recognized that if they could get their friend to Jesus, he could do marvelous things for him. So these men, the four of them, they dared to be different. They took an unconventional approach in getting somebody to Jesus. Do y'all read of anybody else that brought a man to Jesus like this, utilizing the methodology that was employed by these four? I can't remember reading of anybody who employed this particular method or technique in order to get men to Jesus. They had him apparently on what we would call a pallet. Y'all know what a pallet is? Yeah, we used to sleep on a pallet when we'd go spend the night with our cousins. And when they came to spend the night with us, then we slept on a pallet. Yes, Sister Barbara Coors, she slept on a pallet before. Yes. It's sort of a temporary bed. Of course, now, they referred to these pallets in Bible times as beds. You know, and some of y'all probably pictured in your mind a four-post bed with rails and a mattress, but that's not the kind of bed he was on. He was on what we'd call a pallet. Now, the thing that is significant, they dared to be different in order to get this man to Jesus. There were several things that were necessary in order for them to get him to Jesus. First, they had to be caring. Then there had to be some cooperation. There had to also be some confidence. They had to have confidence in each other. The sick man had to have confidence in those four folks out there that were carrying him. And they had to cooperate with each other in getting this man, in conveying him to Jesus. So now, each of the men involved in this special medical transport endeavor had to carry his part of the load. You know, what if one man had just turned loose his end and said, I'm going to direct this. Yeah, I'm going to advise y'all. Y'all come this way. They would have had greater difficulty in getting this man to Jesus. I heard of a lady, you know, she said, I want to be actively involved in the church. She said, I want to serve the Lord, but I want to operate only in an advisory capacity. What if one or more of these men had said, we just want to operate in an advisory capacity? All right, y'all bring it on over this way. You need to get your corner and be responsible for carrying your share of the load. You need to make a commitment no matter what happens. I'm going to hold up my corner. I'm going to hold up my end of the bargain. I have to do my part in order to get this man, our friend, to Jesus. And so they demonstrated a spirit of cooperation with each other. We likewise must demonstrate the same kind of spirit of cooperation if we are to get men to Jesus. Getting men to Jesus is not always easy. So sometimes it takes a non-conventional approach like these men employed. But not only that, they ran into some difficulties, Brother Solomon. Not only did they dare to be different, but they also denied the difficulty. You know, there were people everywhere. You couldn't even get up close to the door because of the press. SRO, remember, standing room only. Crowd packed around the place where Jesus was. And Jesus was engaged in the time-honored tradition of proclaiming the good news. He was preaching the word of God. So these men had to think in their minds, in their hearts, now, how are we going to get around this crowd, Gary? How are we going to get men to Jesus? He's way in there, surrounded by people. People think his country, but their own country. How in the world can we get past the crowd? How in the world can we overcome the crowd to get our friend to Jesus? They had to deny the difficulty. And we're not going to be stopped just because there's a crowd. Somebody apparently, Brother Vashon, came up with the idea, I tell you what, let's go up on top of the house. Well, what are we going to do when we get up on top of the house? We're going to have to break through the roof. You're going to break through. This is not our house. We are not authorized to break through this man's roof in order to get this man to Jesus. And so I know it's difficult, but we got to do it if we're going to get our friend to Jesus. We've got him this far. We've got him this close. Go up on top of the house, break through the roof. I don't know if their insurance covered that or not. But they denied the difficulty. They said, no, we're not going to let this stop us. And they also, insofar as the cost, see, I believe that they were going to do what was necessary in order to repair the damage done to the roof. So I think they also discounted the dollar. So no matter what it costs, if we want to just get our friend to Jesus and we can fix the roof later, we can pay for the damage that has been done. So they went up on the roof, broke it up, and they had to make big enough hole in the roof in order to let the man down. So they did let him down after they broke through the roof, let him down so he would have access to Jesus. And the Bible lets us know when Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. His physical infirmity, his physical incapacitation was apparently tied to his sins in some kind of way. And sometimes our sins will result in us having physical problems or physical illness. So Jesus said, son, your sins be forgiven you. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there reasoning in their hearts, this man is speaking blasphemy. This man is speaking impiously and irreverently against God. Who can forgive sins but God only? And they weren't saying, they weren't talking out, they weren't speaking out. They were just thinking these things in their hearts. But Jesus perceived what was going on inside their hearts. And he said to them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? You know, which is easiest to say to the sick of palsy, your sins be forgiven, or to say, arise and take up your bed and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins, he saith unto the sick of the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up thy bed, go thy way into thine house. And immediately he arose, took up the bed, went forth before them all, insomuch that they were all amazed and glorified God, saying, we never saw it on this fashion. We've never seen anything like this. What a marvelous man was Jesus. Visible faith. How did Jesus see their faith? I thought faith was an intangible. I thought faith was a concept. I thought that faith was a spiritual reality. How did Jesus see it? Jesus saw it because he saw the men and he saw the actions that they took. He saw the steps that they took. He saw the demonstration of their faith in the exemplification of visible action. And that's the only way he's going to really see our faith. We can talk until we're blue in the face. We can say how much we believe, but in order for Jesus to see our faith, we must demonstrate it with works of obedience. James chapter 2 and verse 18. Remember, the role of visible faith in getting men to Jesus. Let's do all we can to get men to Jesus in these coming days, weeks, and then throughout the remainder of our lives, let us do whatever it takes in order to get men to Jesus. If you're here and you need to come to Jesus this evening, you come to him by hearing the gospel of Christ, how he died for our sins according to the scriptures, how he was buried, how he rose again the third day, all according to our to the scriptures, the teaching of God's word. He died, was buried, and arose again. Believe that with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Confess your faith. Submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. Arise to walk in the newness of life, having a brand new relationship with the Lord and a brand new relationship with God. If you're here and you need to be restored through repentance, confession, and prayer, it can be done. And we urge you to do it even right now as we together stand and as we sing.
When the Savior comes, I will answer. When he calls for me, I will hear you.
When the Savior comes,